Today I will confess and believe that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Praise the Lord. Now, again, remember, this is just exactly what Sister April was just talking about in terms of our justification by what Jesus has done and not something that we ourselves need to do, you know, and that's just great news from God, which is why it's called the good news. All right, so today we're going to start in the book of Psalms. We're going to go to Psalm 19, and we're going to read Psalm 19, verse 1 through 14. We're going to read the whole psalm, actually, and then we're going to look at Psalm 8. So Psalm 19, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 14. So when you have it, just say amen. All right. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices that the strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 8. Let's look at Psalm 8, and we're going to read that psalm, verse 1 through 9, and then we'll pray and see if we can get going. O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who have set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the path of the seas. O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning just asking you once again, if you would please open the word of God to our understanding. Father, we thank you that the Bible teaches us that if we would pursue you and your righteousness, that all these other things would be added unto us. Therefore, Father, we don't trivel around in motivation. We don't trivel around in the things of the world. But, Father, we seek through your word to know you in a deeper way. Father, we pray this morning that the word itself will teach us that we might grow thereby. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, today I have a message that I am entitling Meditation of the Heart. Meditation of the Heart. And my thesis, what I'm hoping I'll get to when I get to the end of this, hopefully what will happen for you, is that what I continuously think about helps me to know the true condition of my heart toward God. What I continuously think about helps me to know the true condition of my heart toward God. Many times, what people fail to recognize or think about as we're walking through the world, the Bible talks about how Adam and Eve, in their dealing with God, failed to do what God told them to do, that God had instructed them not to eat from the fruit of the tree, but they did it anyway. And it then opened up a whole new world of disobedience, if you will, to them, because they began to now know the difference between good and evil, and at the same time, they also allowed Satan to begin to be able, if you will, to manifest himself in the lives of the humans that God had placed over his creation. So for us, what this thesis and what I'm interested in for us as believers, like I've said, you know, there are many places where you can listen to different sermons about, you know, your finances and your this and your that and all that stuff. And although all those things are important, the Word talks about these things, I'm more interested in continuing our understanding of the Father himself, because he says that if you'll get that down, the rest of it, he's got taken care of. You don't have to worry about all the rest of that stuff. Now, we read Psalm 19, and in reading Psalm 19, we see God making some declarations, okay? The first thing we see is that the Lord says that the heavens, many times there are people out there who now don't believe in God, don't believe this, don't believe that, and they'll say, well, how you know there's a God and all that. And God says that, look, the heavens themselves declare my glory. God says that what I need you to do is that if you sit back and just look, you will recognize that there's absolutely no way that this thing could have been put together without some type of hand that did this. But men who decide, for whatever their reasons are, to pursue after science, which, like Paul said, falsely so-called, many times undermine God's handiwork, if you will, in terms of what God did. So here we have a book. Now, I was telling somebody the other day, I don't understand sometimes why many people have trouble in terms of trying to say as believers to witness to people about Christ. Now, I can understand people's timidity about it. You know, in other words, maybe they just don't like to talk to people or whatever, you know, and that was one of the reasons why we got these cards, you know. So it's like, hey, you could give somebody a card and tell them just go listen to the message. They can scan a message and go listen to it. But the point is that if it is true what we believe, that in fact that people who die without Christ will in fact suffer eternal damnation. We believe that, let's say, as Christians. And if we believe that Jesus truly is, in fact, the Son of God, so that he's different. Everything I've listened to this week is people keep talking about whether it's Confucius or this one or that one. They always throw Jesus' name in there. And I always tell people, that's why, you know, everybody is so confused about it. You know, he's not on the same level as Confucius or any of these other people. Jesus himself, that's why I tell people, you can throw him off the list and be okay with that if you choose to follow the rest of those quotes or sayings or whatever, because Jesus himself said, I am not the same as everyone else. He says, everybody that came before me was a thief and a robber. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. So that means then that if I don't accept that, you can throw Jesus off the list. Just scratch him off. You don't have to feel bad about it. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day who was as a Muslim, and they were saying, you know, there's so much Islamophobic stuff in America, right? And I said, well, let me just say this. The more I look at America, it seems to me Jesus-phobic. In other words, if everybody keeps defending all of the people, you know, this one, don't be homophobic, don't be disophobic, don't be datophobic. If you say something about that, you phobic, right? But then as soon as we say something about Jesus, people get all upset and all mad, and why are you trying to push Christianity? Why are you trying to push Jesus on people? Well, stop being Jesus-phobic. What's wrong with you? I mean, what's wrong? Why can't, you know, what's wrong with me saying Jesus in public? Me trying to push a little bit of Jesus out there. What's wrong with that? Everybody else pushing their stuff out, but then we can't push ours out. You know, something, what's wrong with pushing it out there? Well, I know, tell you what's wrong. The devil already know there ain't no room on the stage but for Jesus. See, Jesus already said, look, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody other than me. So Jesus draws this great contrast that causes people to have to think about it. We can't put everybody on the stage, you know, and they all up there. And Jesus goes by himself, and that causes people trouble. Well, I'm not trying to make you believe that, but I can't hold my peace about what I know to be the case. Now, think about this. If you really believed, I mean, Christianity witness, the witness of Christians in Jesus makes sense. Now, why would it make sense? Let me just ask you this question. And I think anybody, no matter who they are, would answer this, but maybe I'm wrong. If you honestly thought that you knew that if somebody didn't do a particular thing, that they would actually literally be destroyed, that they actually literally would be separated from God, that they actually literally would be tormented forever. Okay, now if you thought you knew that, would you think that that person should at least tell you about it so that you would at least know? And if they told you about it, even if it made you mad, would you want them to try to tell you about it? Well, that's all that we do. I mean, what we really believe. Now, people, we might be delusional, they say. Maybe we are following something that doesn't even exist. But at least don't get mad at us, because the reality is, just like everything everybody else pursuing, we're doing the same thing. We just have been told by God that there was no way for man to redeem himself. He comes up with all his religions and all his things and stuff, but he has no way to deliver himself. He doesn't even understand that if he would stop long enough and consider the meditation of his heart, he would realize that there's no way that this thing could have been designed by anything but a God. Now it's just a matter of who is that God? And let's not waste our time on multiple personalities and all. Let's start striking through the list. See, because that's why I would be like, look, Confucius off the list. This one off the list for me. Why? Because Jesus, I'd strike him off the list too if what he said had not remedied and made sense to me. When he began to explain to me, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He that commits sin is the servant of sin. You a slave. And all of a sudden you realize that there are things that go on in your life that you even don't want to do, but you can't stop doing them. And you say to yourself, if we're so wise and so smart and so powerful and so whatever, why can't we stop? Why can't I not nigh, as I think it was Jeremiah may have said, nayed after another man's wife? How come you know she walked by and whatever? You can't just let her slide. Why you got to be looking? That ain't your wife. There's something in people that causes us to do this, and God says it's called sin. But I've come to redeem you from that, so that even if what, for whatever the reasons are, you've been the worst person, and all of us have been there somewhere. Don't be lying now. Well, it's okay. You can lie. God know you're lying. And that is, Paul said, all of us have had our time being a liar or a fornicator or a hypocrite. Whatever we were, we were. But God in his grace redeemed us, opened our eyes, and let us see. To the point that Paul even said, you know, who are we to judge anybody? Because he says, ultimately, wherein you judge one, you put yourself under condemnation. He said, now we know that the judgment of God is true as concern of these things. But we can't stand in judgment of other people saying who going to hell and who ain't. All we can say is that we know that God has given us a pathway, and that pathway is through Christ. And because of that, we can all get under Jesus and be justified by faith in Christ, right? Well, God says, look, not only Do the heavens declare my glory? He says in verse 2 in Psalm 19 that day unto day uttereth speech and night unto night shows knowledge. He said, in other words, the daytime, it goes from day to day. That right there is talking to you. You think about it. You went to bed last night and you got up this morning. Why did that happen? I mean, why did the sun go up? I mean, come down and the moon go up? You went to bed, and when you woke up, the sun was coming up, and it's going to keep doing that. Why is that the case? Well, what makes that happen? For thousands of years since we can record history, that's what happens. The sun goes up, then it go down, it get dark, it gets light. And then most of us aren't around long enough, we gone. We born, we live a couple hundred years, we die. See, I say a couple hundred. It's not happening. People think when you hit 100, you're doing good. And even when you hit 100, people, most of them are struggling at 100. But guess what? It keeps rising and falling. But what most men don't understand is if they ever stop long enough, they would realize, you know what? I'm going to die too. And the sun gonna keep going around, and I need to understand, well, what happens after that, Lord? What's really going on? What are you speaking to me? What's being spoken? There's a speech going on, God says. The heavens declare my glory, and the day speaks, and the night brings knowledge to you. That what? It gets dark, then it gets light. It gets dark. And it gets light. And then sooner or later, you out of here. But you ain't out of here and just gone. The Bible says in verse 3, there's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. It doesn't matter where you go, to Africa, you go in the jungle, you go wherever you can go. The sun speaks every day to everybody. I'm going up, coming down. It's dark now. Now we go back. The stars are up there, and without light, you can't see a thing. Go out in the country at night. Drive to Mississippi down one of them roads and turn your lights off when it's dark. Most people don't understand dark. They think it's dark with the street lights and everything. Now, drive down there. You got to go down 67 or one of them toward Mississippi heading that way and turn them lights out back in them woods. It'll scare you. It's so dark, you can see nothing. Why is this the case? What knowledge am I learning? That darkness with no light, it's that dark. This is the difference between good and evil, between light and darkness. God is light. God says that, guess what? Not only have, he said, I've set the sun in verse 4. He says, their line goes out through all the earth and their words to the end of the earth. And then I've set the sun in the earth and given it a tabernacle. So the sun rules. Is what it basically is happening. It comes up, and the Bible says in the next verse, it says that what? In verse 6, his going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there's nothing hid from his heat. Y'all say the sun is hot. It don't teach y'all nothing. It don't make y'all understand how hot it can get. It don't make you understand there's day and there's night. There's day and there's night, and there's heat that comes from this thing called the sun that seems to rule everything. It rules daytime. It rules nighttime. It rules because when it rises, night has to leave. See, when it rises, just like the Bible says, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. It's speaking to you. The darkness flees from the light, and the light is hot. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. Just like our sun that sits in the sky. They said it is so hot, you can't get near the sun. It's so hot. But think about it. If God actually created the sun, if the sun came out from God, God created the thing that I can't remember how many degrees they say it is, but whatever it is, it's ridiculous. There's nothing can survive getting even near close to it. You can't even look at it straight on. Take your glasses off and look at it, you go blind. And you standing here on earth, Imagine then the God who created such a thing. If in fact he can create a sun that you can't look at without going blind, what about him? God declares himself and says in verse 7, after all of that, he begins then to speak about himself. He says that my law is perfect. It will convert your soul. The testimony that I give is sure. It'll make you wise. My statutes are right. They'll make your heart rejoice. My commandment is pure. It will bring light to your eyes. The fear of me is clean. It endures forever. My judgments are true and righteous. That's what you need to be going after instead of gold. He says, I don't care what kind of gold. It could be the best gold out there. He said, it's sweeter than honey if you understood what you was dealing with. I am the Lord. I change not. I created everything. Look out there. What is on your heart? Meditation of the heart. What do you think about at night when you laying there in your bed? What do you think about in the day when you walk out and you see the sun? What's on your mind? Well, I got to hurry up before the day is over. I got so much to do. Well, I got to get to sleep because I got to get up early. I got so much to do. Instead of meditating on the fact that, wow, man, are you kidding me? God, you literally created this whole thing? Are you telling me what you want me to believe is that you sit up in some place called heaven, our Father which art in heaven. You somewhere up in this place called heaven, and you who were not what created, no one created you, you were there from whatever the beginning is. There was no such thing as beginning. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm everything. I'm in the beginning, I'm in the end, I'm in the middle, I'm everywhere. That's who you are. That's who you claim to be. And you telling me you sent your son here and he died, and that Father, not only is that who you are, but you are so powerful, you know the number of hairs on my head, and you care about me. You care about my wife. You care about every single human being on the planet. You care about the ones that hate you. You care about the ones that spit on you. You care about the ones that talk about you. You care about everybody. You're trying to get everybody to understand that what? You didn't have a problem with them. We had a problem with you. You told us not to eat from the tree, but we chose to eat from the tree. And then you tell us don't kill, but we choose to kill. You tell us don't commit adultery, but we choose adultery. You tell us not to steal, but we choose to steal. You tell us not to covet, but we choose to covet. You tell us to obey our parents, we choose to disobey. What don't we understand about what the scriptures say about the law of the Lord? It's perfect. If we would just do what the Lord says, can you imagine what the planet would look like? Thou shalt not kill, steal, commit adultery, covet. Obey your mama and your daddy. It's the first commandment with promise that it might go well with you. We clear the jails out. We wouldn't need a jail. Think about it. Wouldn't need divorce court. You wouldn't need none of this. But we do. But we so smart. And the question is, what are we meditating on? See, what we meditate on, what we continuously think about, helps us to know the true condition of our heart. See, because it's what I meditate on is what I go after. See, the direction you point in is the direction you go, y'all. Watch this. If I want to walk this way, which way you think I'm going to point? You think I'm going to go this? I'm going to turn like this? How many of y'all do that? Y'all don't do that, right? No. You turn in the direction you go. So whatever's on your mind, that way you're going. So if you're sitting around thinking about, all you think about is money all the time, then everything you're going to be doing is trying to go in the direction of money. This is why people who have get gambling addictions can't help themselves. All they think about is gambling, them lights. And once it grab you, it got you. It's the same thing with adultery. All you do is think on her. Once she gets you, that's it. You can't help yourself. You don't know why you're going over there.
I know this ain't right.
Yeah, you know it ain't right, then why are you going? First thing it says, I can't help myself. Well, then if we don't want to say we can't help ourselves, then we come up with something else. We blame it on God.
Well, maybe this is the one God really has for me.
Stop lying. God already told you, don't do that. The Lord is perfect. The Lord is right. The law of the Lord will clean you up. What is on your mind? You got to ask yourself the question. Stop making God into something that he not. That's why I tell people, at least take the Bible, tear out a couple pages. Because you're going to have to do that, because God says plainly who he is, what he's about, what's right, what's wrong. And I said, as a Christian, it makes sense that we would witness to people, because what? If we honestly believe what God says, you go and read the New Testament, read Ezekiel, read Jeremiah in the Old Testament, you always find God constantly sending his prophets, and they constantly saying, y'all need to stop, 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 y'all need to stop. If y'all don't stop, I'm going to get y'all. Y'all need to stop. Y'all need to stop. I don't want to get y'all. Please stop. I don't want to get you. They stoned the prophet. I don't want to get you. They killed the prophet. Please stop. I don't want to get y'all. They killed the prophet. Come on, y'all. Stop. Please stop. Please stop. I'm telling you, if you don't stop, I'm going to kill everybody. I'm going to kill the old people. I'm going to kill the young people. I'm going to kill the babies. I'm going to kill the women. I'm telling you, it's going to be bad. Please stop. Please stop. Please stop. Please stop. Just read. All you got to do is go read it. It don't matter which one. Ezekiel, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah said, I'm lamenting. Read his lamentation. Oh, my eyes are filled with water. If they could just be a river. That I'm telling y'all to stop and you won't stop. Now think about what goes on out here with all the Jesusophobics. You're trying to tell them, stop. Please stop. Well, who you think you are? A sinner saved by the grace of God. Trust me, I ain't thinking I'm no better than you. I don't think I ain't never done nothing wrong. I know where I've been. That's why I'm trying to tell you, stop. Stop. You better stop. I'm telling you, you don't stop. Something gonna happen. God don't want to kill you. But you don't leave him no choice. That's like a razor blade. It's like the sun. What y'all understand? The sun speaks a language. What language does it speak? Look at me, I'm going to blind you. The sun speaks a language. Stay out here, I'm going to burn you up. Stay out here, I'll give you cancer if you stay up under me too much. Stay out here with your light self here. You're going back in dark. That's what the sun telling you. I mean, we done learned that lesson. You see people all on the beach. You see some people come in. Like this. They all burnt up. The sun, we know the lesson. It's speaking to us. And God's like, now if the sun can do that, because you don't do what you're supposed to do in reference to the sun, what you didn't learn? What's the lesson you didn't learn? Well, either you don't believe the sun was created by anyone, and if that's the case, what you're doing is logical. You know, you just believe the sun just came out of nowhere. Yeah, just out of nowhere. It just came out of nowhere. Really. So the sun just came out of nowhere, and so did the earth. It just came out of nowhere. And at some point, we too came out of nowhere. We came out of something. Some say it's the bang. Boom. And all of a sudden, here we are, right? Big boom, and all of a sudden there's a sun that happens to be in the right place. There's a moon that happens to be in the right place. There's stars that show up. The sun revolves just at the right time all the time. There are seasons that just happen to work right. They always follow one another. They're not even off. They just follow each other every year, year in, year out. But that all just came out of chaos. Where? Go to your house right now and take everything out of your drawer and throw it up in the air. And see what you come up with. Try that big bang. And see when you go, take it all out the drawer. You got it all folded. And go like this. Bang! And see what happens. See if your clothes come down folded up. See if they go in a drawer where they belong.
See if your underwear say, hey, get back over here. We belong together. And see if they fold themselves and tuck themselves back in the drawer. Now, come on, y'all. You know they don't have to take your car and just go and take all the bolts out of the motor and just throw it up in the air. See if it'll come back down and reassemble itself and crank up and you could drive away. Try it. You know that don't work. So why are we willing to let the devil convince us that somehow, other than believing what the heavens are telling us, that God did this, that no, y'all don't understand. See, y'all too primitive. That's how primitive people think. Wise people understand. Science. Yes, it all banged together. Science, we call it. We can't prove it because everything we do like that, if I take this Bible and tear all the pages out and throw it up in the air, it sure ain't gonna come back down assembled. Well, you just don't understand. Oh, no, I got plenty of understanding. God said, don't believe that. God said that the heavens declare my glory and the sun is speaking to you every day, son. Meditate on what you're hearing. Don't allow yourself to go down a road that's not true. Let my law convert your soul. So that you don't die departed from me. That you don't die pursuing something that ain't got nothing to do with me. And the devil knows he's deceived you. And now when your eyes close, the darkness will fall on you and you will never see the sun rise again. Don't let it happen. You see it every day. You buried your mama, didn't you? You buried your daddy, didn't you? You buried people all the time and the sun don't rise on them, at least not that they know about it. Better learn, he says. Learn, meditate. What is your heart thinking about today? Well, Lord, I got to get going. I got a lot to do. But you haven't prayed yet. Oh, but I got a lot to do. I'm busy. But you haven't read your word yet. Oh, but no, I ain't got time for that. Oh, but you got time for life that God gave you, right? God gave you the life, we say it. Now, you know, we ride around with our bumper stickers and our T-shirts. Bless the Lord, I'm blessed. Full blessed for, you know, all that stuff they got on their license plates. Sometimes I got to stop to try to figure out what that's saying. I am blessed. Okay, sometimes you can figure it out what they got, flavor, whatever it is they saying, and some kind of way they think that going to do something. That don't help. Just like a stop sign don't make you stop, and a yield sign don't make you yield. A bumper sticker, a T-shirt, or nothing else don't make you pure. It don't change your mind. It doesn't make you understand. You got to meditate on this thing. If you stop long enough and start meditating on this thing, you'll say to yourself, man, I'm crazy. How it took me this long to figure this out? I've been running and running and running, and now here it is, that same sun been rising and falling. Now I'm 60. Eventually I might get to be 70, but the point is the sun going to keep doing what it's doing. It's to the point we can predict now when the hurricane come, not because it changed when it was coming, but because now we got a little better technology. But everything that we have, we didn't leave and no Martians came and gave it to us. Smartphone, we call it. Well, it was always here. Everything they used to put a smartphone together, they didn't go to Mars and get it. Didn't no Martians show up and say, look, we got some technology for y'all. It's called the internet. That's not what happened. We figured it out. Right. But it was already here. Yeah, when Julius Caesar was here, he could have had a smartphone. Problem was, they wasn't smart enough to figure it out. Then as time went on, men kept figuring stuff out. But they don't understand that God is letting them run their course. The Bible says that man eventually will say, just like in Babylon, we shall go to the stars. And look at them. Once again, we own ships. We going to the stars. And all we done is gone out there and realize we can't breathe. Ain't nobody went out there yet where they could breathe. Even though they keep claiming somebody else out there. Ain't none out there. Nothing. They ain't found nothing yet. They say, well, you can't say that because there are billions of galaxies.
Okay. If you say so, I mean, I ain't going to debate with you, but what I will debate this, you ain't been to none of them. So why would I waste my time and my life on this you talking about that you ain't never even seen? Well, you want to make me think something wrong with me and something wrong with my religion, something wrong with my belief, because I'm unwilling to believe something you've never seen? Oh, we don't know the historical Jesus. We don't know if he was here. Oh, but we know Julius Caesar was here. How y'all know Julius Caesar was here, but you don't know if Jesus actually came or not? You see, people just gonna make up stuff, folks. We gotta understand what's going on here. I want you to hear this. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22. Yeah, we gotta stop letting people be so Jesus-phobic. Now, we know they're gonna be Jesus-phobics, but we can't be worrying about that. Some kind of way, almost as if Christianity running the world. And we know we ain't running the world. But why we can't talk? Why are you all frustrated when I say Jesus? I went into Lowe's yesterday. Man had a shirt say hooked on Jesus. It looked like everybody was going around him like this. Like they were scared. I thought to myself, Jesus-phobic. Matthew 22. I'm going to read verse 35 to you. I mean, listen to what Jesus, this is what's happening. Matthew 22, I'm going to look at verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, you know us lawyers, we so smart, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now stop. There's more there, but just stop. He said, this is the first and great commandment. Now, think about it. See, people will talk, we won't put the Ten Commandments back in school. Forget them. God says the first and greatest commandment. Because if you get this one down, Jesus said on all the law, rest on this. And the next one, love your neighbor as yourself. That's what he said the next one. He said, this is the first and great, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets. Every law, every commandment, he says, is based on two things. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, and your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Makes sense. Thou shalt not covet. Why I won't want your car? You pull up and I'm like, he probably stole it. So why we say that? Because we jealous. We envious. And instead of saying, brother, congratulations, I'm see God blessing your life. I can't say that because I'm so full of envy and jealousy and whatever that now I got to come up with a reason. Well, I'm not going to look at you because I don't want nobody to think I'm trying to say that. And I look at it. You're probably selling crack. Why the man got to be selling crack? Why he can't just have bought himself a car? Because the devil, he works with all of us, and it's envy. That's why God says, look, love your neighbor as yourself. If you loved your neighbor as yourself, you wouldn't say nothing like that. If you loved your neighbor, you'd let his wife alone because he your neighbor. Well, I don't really know him like that. We're not talking about the guy that lived next door. We now tell Jesus already told us who we're talking about. Who is my neighbor? Okay? Love your neighbor as yourself. Every law. Love your mother and father. Honor your mother and father. Everything falls on love your neighbor as yourself. He said all the law and the prophets. He said if a person was actually, that's why he says the law of the Lord is perfect. It'll convert your soul. If you think, love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, everything about you is about loving God, the Father, the one who created this thing, the one who did this. You're the one I want to pursue. When that happens, every time the devil shows up, the Father's there to try to assist you so you can see it, and you begin to say, whoa, hold up, I'm not going to do that. That's not right. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 40. I mean, God is just... Folks, God, to me, that's what's on my mind all the time. It really is now. And after you read this, y'all ought to really be like, you know what? He on my mind too, Pastor. Not that he ain't. He probably, maybe he is. I hope he is all the time, because that'll tell you where you're at. I want to read this to you in Isaiah chapter 40. And we're going to begin in verse 12. Now watch this. Now we're talking about our God now. Now that's why I always like to say this. We're talking about our God. So say that with me right quick. We are talking about my God. Say my. We are talking about. All right, so you're talking about your God. Now, I want you to think about what I just said. We're not talking about just somebody out there. We're not just talking about what might be going on. We're not just talking about a list of people. Because I'm telling you, they got Jesus on the list with, see, I can't even remember my main name, Gandhi. How you got Jesus on the list with Gandhi? Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Jesus, Confucius, and all that. Why you got Jesus on the list with Gandhi and Martin Luther King? These people ain't died for you. Well, I don't believe he died. Well, then strike him off the list. That's all I'm saying. He doesn't belong on the list. Well, he said a lot of good things, but he lied. If he existed at all, since we can't figure that one out, we do know Gandhi was here and Martin Luther King. Strike him off the list. But Jesus said, look, there's no list you can put me on. I am by myself. What you don't understand about that? Well, but God, if we try to tell people that, they ain't going to want to accept you. I don't care. That's what God says. I'm trying to save you. You lost. You going to hell. You going to die. Not me. I'm trying to tell them the truth. What you not want, didn't I say this a little while ago? Folks, seriously, if you had a friend, let's say you had a friend, and you honestly knew that the move they were about to make was going to destroy them, you knew it. You knew it for real. Would you tell them? If you thought they was going to get mad, would you tell them? Absolutely. See, and that's what I'm saying for Christians. It's almost like for us, look, I know they get mad at us, and I understand all that. But what are we supposed to do? If we really believe what Jesus said, this is going to be a problem. People are going to close their eyes, or they stand out in the sun. That's like me going out there telling my wife, honey, you might want to come in. I know what I'm doing. Honey, you ain't got no, what they call that, sunscreen on. Nothing. You stay in the sun, I'm telling you, it'll burn you up. I'm good. Okay, honey, I'm just saying, you need to get out the sun. I'm good. I wouldn't care if she got mad. If I honestly thought she's going to stay out there, she's going to get burned up. And it wouldn't be because what? I know I'm going to have to deal with her when she come in, because I will. Well, I am. She's going to be telling me, oh, God, I'm lying. We're going to have to deal with that, right? Well, I got it. But that's not why. God's not in heaven going, oh, let me go ahead and save them because they're going to worry me to death. I'm going to have to take care of. No, 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 no. God says, I love y'all. I created you. I put you in the garden. I care about you just like you care about children yourself. And I don't want you to die. Yeah. Satan is trying to blind your eyes so that he can get you where he going. Because he know the book. He know he going. People talk about, well, Satan is fighting God to try to see. We confused. Satan know plain well. He ain't fighting God to stay. He ain't going nowhere but into the lake of fire. He know that. He know when God speak, what God say is so, because he saw it. He sees it. He knows it. People say, well, why did he rebel? Because God led him. It was necessary because God needed to rid the universe of all rebellion. People need to understand who he is, because when he talk, some people just don't get it. Well, obviously, Satan didn't get it. He was right there. God had created him. But the Bible says that he started looking at himself and started thinking he had it going on like God. So God let him get to that point so that he could do what? Cast him down. And now the rest of the angels understand. Even though he created us. See, think about it. Some children don't get this. Now, it's true that, you know, it's like my dad. You know, when once there came a point I was pretty comfortable I could take him. But he's my dad, right? So I have to understand that. Well, the difference with God is some of them cheering don't get it. Some of them angels didn't understand. God created you. Do you know what that means? Just like he created you, he could take you out. just that fast. Well, Satan convinced them that that wasn't the case, and he showed them. The Bible says that when iniquity was found in him, he was cast down like lightning. Jesus said he came out like lightning. That's how fast God took him out. The Bible says that when we finally get to see Satan for who he is, we all going to be saying, this the one? This is the one that we've been running from? This the one that caused all the problems on the planet? Him? When we look at God and we're going to be like, oh, my God, that? Yeah. God said, yeah, but God said, look, but I've been telling y'all that. I've been telling you the whole time. Let's look at verse 12. Now, this is your God now. And you tell me if your God, if there's something else going on, this is your God. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the spirit of the Lord or being his counselor has taught him? With whom took he counsel and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment? And taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding. Behold, the nations, Russia, Ukraine, United States, all y'all are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he takes up the isles as a very little thing. Now, let me stop here right for a minute. I want you to think about this. While we all talking about Russia, Ukraine, China, well, you remember Rome? The Romans? Alexander the Great, Napoleon, they all came and they all gone. And the earth's still here. Putin, anybody else. Until God is finished, we're going to be here. Sun rising, sun falling, people living, people dying. Until God decides that it's over. God says, look, behold the nations. This is what he say. This is why I say as a Christian, we crazy if you stay a Christian, if you scared. You should just stop worrying about it. I mean, come on now, because that's your God. You think he a braggart? You think he just got to try to puff his chest out to maybe get some of y'all to follow him? God say, look, I don't need no counselor. Didn't have none. When I took the earth and the water, that's what he mean by the span. Out of the span of my hand. That's what he did. He spun the sun off like this. Whoa, let there be light. And the sun, boom. That's your God. But you scary. Let's go back and see what else he say about himself. Look what he say in verse 18. To whom, when, will you liken God? Or what? Now, watch how he talk about people. Now, God in heaven, watch how he talk about us. He say, to whom, then, will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melts a graven image, and the goldsmith spreads it over with gold and casts silver chains on it. He that is so poor, that's what that word impoverished means, he that is so poor that he hath no oblation, he chews a tree that will not rot. He seeks unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that he shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have you not been told from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sits on the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are like grasshoppers that stretch out over the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Who gonna be my equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them by their names, by the greatness of his power, for that he is strong in power. Not one fails. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from God? Hath not thou heard? Hast not thou seen and known that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he don't faint. He doesn't get weary. There's no searching his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases their strength. Even the young people get weary and faint. Even the young utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord renew their strength. They mount up with wings like eagles. They run and don't get weary. They walk and they do not faint. God says, this is my testimony to you, to the people of God, right? That these people, all that stuff going on. God said, look, I'll blow on that when I get ready. Y'all got to understand, some of that stuff I let flame up. Why? Because I need to let it flame up because y'all need to see it. Y'all need to understand I ain't for that. And when I get ready, I'm going to blow on it. And it can go out just like a candle. Look at Rome. I'm telling you, look at the Roman Empire. These people spanned all of Europe, practically. And the next thing you knew, and they gone. You seen a Roman lately? Everybody say stuff. You know, they got that commercial, Caesar, and all that stuff. And when you're in Rome, do like the Romans do. But ain't no Romans around here. I ain't seen a Roman nowhere. But I tell you what I have seen. An Israelite. God told them, God said, look, I'm going to send the destroyer in there. They literally went into Jerusalem 70 years, 70 AD, 40 years after Jesus died. Jesus said, not one stone is going to be left of this temple standing. He says, but God will preserve a remnant, and they will be back in the land, the Bible says. And sure enough, 40 years after they crucified their king, temple totally destroyed. Romans came in and took down every stone, just like Jesus said. But we don't know if Jesus lived. We're not really sure. But we know they got Jews. And I just don't understand. Why did everybody want to kill them? Think about it now. Watch this, watch this, watch this. Why, just like Jesus phobic, why are people so phobic about them? Well, you know, they run everything. They run Hollywood. They got the money. They stirring up the world. Hitler won't kill all the Jews. Why? Who cares? They discourage the planet. Why? What's that about? Well, see, most people will say things like this. Well, Pastor, see, you buying into that whole thing that, you know, they the chosen people and all that. Stop. Look, God said, look, his own people killed him. So I would not want to be of the chosen peoples if my legacy is we killed our king. We killed God. Now, people say, don't say that. Because now I'm going to be labeled as an anti-Semitic. People will cut that piece off, just that little piece. So when Harris start running for judge or one of y'all start trying to be, they're going to cut that piece. I want y'all to know that, not the sermon. Your pastor, anti-Semitic. Look right here, say the Jews killed Jesus. All I said was, Jesus came. And they said, away with him, crucify him. Okay, the Romans crucified him. But Pilate asked him, shall I give you your king? And they said, we don't have no king, but Caesar. Okay, well, fine. Got it. But why are they still here? Because God said, I'm going to bring you back to the land, and you all are going to become like a thorn in the side of the earth. Think about it right now. Everybody want to talk about that little country over there. The Palestinians, they doing this to them, and all this and all that. And if we could just, as they say, fix the Jewish problem in the Middle East, we'd all be happy. There's nothing, you know, it's all Arabs and just them Jews in there. But why? What's going on? God already told you what's going on. They kind of represent the world's hatred toward God. See, it's not them. They're not God. God says, no, but from that people, I brought a king, and that king, though, is a king of everyone now. Jesus said, I got sheep from another flock. He said, y'all gonna reject me, but I got sheep from another flock. They come in too. They were talking about us. So now we all, he said, so there will be one shepherd and one set of sheep. And we are that sheep. And we are in that flock. But they represent in the earth. This is why people are Jesus-phobic, right? So not only are they after them half the time, but they're after us half the time. Why? Because we declare the truth. I heard somebody the other day who said, yeah, but the problem I got with the Bible, they were talking about their book. The problem I got with the Bible is it got all these stories in it. And it's always saying these bad things about all the people in it. It's just a book of stories. No, it's a book of truth, a book of life. I want you to tell you something. Think about this. This is what God got us to understand. In Psalm 51, verse 10, you read these verses. Let me put that verse up there for me. You read this. Let me see if I can get to it right quick. Psalm 51, 10. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Psalm 51, 16, 17, this is what it says. For thou desirest not sacrifice, as would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Now, I want you to think about this. These words were penned after the greatest king that God had committed the most grievous sin that could be committed. Many times we pass over, we talk about, I hear people mention, but we don't really drill down enough to think about what's going on here now. God refers to Jesus as the Son of David. He said that David is a man after my own heart, and because he's a man after my own heart, I will not allow a king not to sit on the throne of David. In fact, the Messiah will come through this. And sure enough, when we look in the book of Matthew, we see, as a part of the lineage, him saying Solomon was born of her who was the wife of Uriah. So God is constantly reminding all of us of the dirty laundry. Now watch this. If you wanted me to follow your family, would you want to tell me about your uncle who saw his neighbor's wife, invited her to his house, had sex with her, sent her back to the house, she got pregnant, he called her husband, because his husband happened to work for him. And his husband was off on a job, working for him now, when he called his wife over. So then he called him up and said, hey, why don't you come on? And then he says, hey, go on to your house. Hang out with your wife. Knowing his wife was pregnant, hoping that what? Maybe they were kick boots and he'll think it was his baby. But instead, the man says, well, I can't do that. You know, we boss, we got a company, and all the rest of the guys are out there working. Ain't no way I'm going to go home, and they hear about that. I just don't think that's right. So then I say, scratch my head. I say, okay, why don't we do this? I invite him over for dinner, and then I get him drunk. Drink up! You know I like you. Drink up! You're my friend. Then I get him drunk enough and try to send him to his wife's house. He sleep on my porch. So then I call one of my boys that's working with him. Say, hey, man, look, I'm going to send him back. This is what I need you to do. When y'all go to wash them windows, when you get real, go up with that crane, I need you to loosen one of them little things and let him fall. And then we'll see what happens. So sure enough, he goes on back to work. I say, see you, buddy. Thank you for being my friend. He goes off, and the other worker loosens the thing. Now, he done tied himself on to the thing. And then, boom, and whoa, he dies. And then I tell one of the guys, look, man, go back and tell boss what happened. My boss get mad. Tell him Bobo is dead. So we go back because we know boss gets mad when you don't follow safety rules and people get killed. Because he gonna scream like he always does. But if he screams, tell him Bobo dead. Why? Because Bobo, that's the one he told me to kill. So they go back and they tell boss, this is what happened. Well, before boss could start screaming, they say, and Bobo is dead. And boss says, well, go back. Tell him, try to be more safe. And then the Bible says, I then call his wife over and and say, that's after she done mourned her husband now. You know, she got to have a funeral. Then she come over and be my wife. And the Bible says the thing that David did displeased the Lord. Really? Exactly. You think? That story I just described to y'all, that's why after God sent the prophet to him and the prophet told him the story of what happened and the analogy he used, David screamed and said, that man need to be dead. Kill him. And he said, you the man. And then began to explain to him how God says, look, I gave you everything, David, everything you could have wanted. I gave you your master's wives. I gave you concubines. I gave you everything. And if you'd asked me for more, I'd have gave you that. Why would you take this man's wife? And not only that, now you've had him killed. What is wrong with you? Now, God didn't say, you ain't in my family, so would y'all want me to know about your uncle? See, I just told you about him, and you'd be saying, but you want me to follow your family. Uh-uh. What most people put in the books when they want you to follow their family, they just leave that chapter out. Yeah, you don't want me to know about that. You didn't want me to know your mama really was married to somebody else before she went and slept with somebody else and had their baby. And the baby that died, you don't want to tell me none of that. Because you know I'm going to talk about you. I'm going to say, man, your uncle sounds like he was a dog. And a murderer. Why would I want to follow your family? So God tells us this whole story of his family that's constantly doing stuff that they ain't supposed to be doing. And then he comes along and instead of killing them, he might let a lot of crazy stuff happen. But then he comes back and says, I've put away your sin. I'm going to have mercy on you. I ain't going to kill you. Even though I could. But why does God keep telling the story? Because eventually we get to Romans and God says, there is none righteous. No, not one. And although we love to tell the story of David killing the giant and all that, that's wonderful. But he also committed adultery with that woman. And not only did he commit adultery, he tried his best to cover it up. Folks, that's the part of the story we just leave out. He committed adultery, murdered a man. That ain't all he did. He not only did he sleep with the man's wife, he then has the man come back and try to come up with a plan to get the man to go back and sleep with her so he could cover it up. And the whole time he was sitting there as God's king, looking in this man's face, feeding him, talking to him, acting like he all right when you trying to set him up. You done already slept with his wife. You know she pregnant. Now you're trying to cover it up. Then when he won't do that, you invite him back. Try to get him drunk and get him to go. And then when he won't do that, you are so determined to cover your image and what you've done that you literally had this man killed. Wow. And then he pens this psalm. That's why he's saying this. God, create in me a clean heart, because there's something really wrong with my heart. Something for me, it doesn't matter, God. The Bible says that when it was time for the kings to go out to war, David stayed. And that's how he got in trouble to start. Instead of being where he was supposed to be, he was up on the roof looking out, and he saw. But when he saw, instead of him saying, man, I need to get off this roof, the Bible says he kept, see, he thought on it, and he sent for her. My question is, why did she go? People are going to say, well, if the king called for you. Look, y'all, please don't play me. If the king called for you and then he called for you and say, oh, I won't go to bed with you, you both go to bed with him because he the king. Now, come on now, stop. Don't play. Everybody wrong. She wrong. He wrong. They all was wrong. The king sent for her. She should have said, yes, oh, honorable king, what would you like? He said, well, I saw you on the roof and ooh, girl. And she should say, oh, king, you're a nut. I'm going back home. Because my husband is out there fighting, and you crazy if you think I'm about to go to bed with you. I'm not about to do this crazy thing. That ain't what happened. Bible say they did their thing, and she went home, and she had a baby, and guess what? She sent a message. Old king, got a baby. So obviously she ain't planning on taking care of that herself. The Bible says, none is righteous. No, not One. That's why God tells a story. See, if God covered up the family all the time and he never tell you what's wrong with all these people, you might think that David was a good guy. You might think that David deserved to be on the throne. You might think that Jesus came from David because David was so great, wonderful, and powerful. So why isn't David the king? Because he's an adulterous murderer. And because of that, God says, guess what? But I love him. I forgave him. But there's not one of y'all. I'm sorry. I know y'all want to be, not y'all. I know I want to be. I do my best to be in God's line. But he's like, nope, you in the group too. No, not one. There's only one who's righteous. That's why the book is set up like that. So that when God finally says, you do recognize y'all need a savior, right? Because without me, you're going to do the same thing David did. Yeah. If you don't meditate on me and let the Lord keep you perfect, you're going to do exactly what David did. Oh, I would never do that. Well, that's what Peter said. I'll never deny you. And then he did. Folks, we don't know. Jesus said, look, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. When that devil gets to messing with that flesh, man, you'll break down and do all kind of crazy things. You'll be doing all kind of stuff. Well, I would never do drugs. That's because you ain't got no drug spirit that God done let get on you. Well, I would never do this. Oh, that's because you just ain't had that spirit loosed on you. You got to say to yourself, God, thank you, Jesus, that I ain't a crackhead. Thank you, Jesus, I'm not an adulterer. And if I was, thank you that you saved me and got me out. But the point is, it's God and only God. The same one that created the universe, same one flung the stars, same one. And God says, the only way I could get this done was I had to die. There was no other way around. Can you imagine Jesus in the garden praying, Father, if there's any other way, please, and God. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And sure enough, what happened? God died on the cross so that what? We could be delivered. And now God says, I want y'all to understand this. If you continuously think about that, you wouldn't worry about your finances. If you continuously think about what I'm saying, he says, and put your meditation, continuously think on the fact that there's nobody righteous, nobody, but God in heaven who created the stars, who created the sun, that as I meditate and look and say to myself, wow, you actually did that? And if I believe that, then that means that you know everything going on with my life. You know everything that I need. You know everything that's going to happen to me and when it's going to happen. You know how I might even choose to do what I do. Wow, God, please help me to make the right choices. Because you already know the multiple paths I could take. God knew what David was going to do when he went on that roof. Why didn't he stop him? Because God needed us to understand, and David too, that you just ain't all of that. See, look. I ain't trying to hurt nobody's feelings. This is me too we're talking about. Go back to Psalm 51, verse 17. This is what God is looking for in all of us. And when he gets it, you ain't nothing you can't get from God. See, God said he don't need no sacrifice. You can't bring him nothing. The sacrifices God's looking for is a broken spirit. See, he says what? A broken and a contrite heart. In the Amplified Bible, it says this, broken and contrite spirit, broken down with sorrow for sin, and humbly and thoroughly penitent. Such, O God, you will not despise. See, when I come to God and I say, God, look, I know my life ain't been perfect, and I know I don't live right. I know I do things wrong all the time, God. But you know what? Please have mercy on me. Just don't kill me today. Please don't let the devil get me. I know I messed up. But if you'll just forgive me, create in me a clean heart, God. Renew in me a right spirit, please. Because I recognize that the sun, just like I can't look at the sun that you created, how dare I look up to you and ask you for your forgiveness. But you're the one who said that if somebody sinned against me 7 times in a day, and turned and repented, I was to forgive them. You're such a merciful God. I thank you. My spirit is broken. Sometimes you go through things to break your spirit. Success, some of us just too proud. We know we can do it. We self-sufficient. And sometimes God got to let you get through some stuff that it busts you up. And once you're busted up, God's like, that's all. I don't want to crush you. I ain't trying to hurt you. I'm just trying to get you to see. And then when you come to God, it's like, you know what, Lord? You don't owe me anything, and I know that. But I'm just asking for your mercy. And the Lord says this. The young men going to even get weak. They'll faint. But if you wait for me, trust me, I'll renew your strength. You'll mount up with wings like eagles. It might look bad for you today, but just trust me. You'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. You're going to be like the eagle and lift your wings, and you'll be flying high again. But right now today, that's what he told David. You're going to have to go through, David. But you learn something. Matter of fact, as David was leaving and Absalom had raped his daughter and all kind of stuff had happened, and he was being driven away from his kingdom, and there was a man throwing rocks at him. And Joab said, let me go over and take his head off because he's cursing the king. And he said, let him curse me. I deserve it. See, David understood where he had come from and what he had done, and he knew that God just letting him still be alive was the mercy of God. And so if people were cursing him, he was like, fine, let them curse. He said, maybe God will look down and have a little sorrow on my soul because of what they're doing. But David understood. I'm going to close with this. When Bathsheba's baby, when she was pregnant, all of a sudden the Bible says that she had the baby and the baby was sick. The Lord smote the baby with sickness. In the Bible, I can only imagine how Bathsheba must have felt. Now, your husband is dead, and the baby y'all tried to cover up is sick. And the Bible says that David was fasting and fasting and fasting and begging God. And finally, the baby died. And the Bible says that the men were afraid to go tell him because they said, well, golly, if he all swallowed up like this while the baby alive, what are he going to do when he die? So they told him, and the Bible says David got up, washed his face, ate some food, and went on in the house of the Lord and worship. And they said, what is wrong with you? The baby died and you're happy. Well, when he was alive, you were sad. He said, look, I thought maybe if I cried enough and prayed enough, God would save it. He said, but since he didn't, I got to move on now. He said, but then guess what? He went into his wife and she conceived, the Bible says, and she had a son. And then the Bible says, and the Lord loved him. Wow. That's your God. Don't let nobody lie to you that your God want to send people to hell, your God want to hurt people. No, but after he killed that man, after he did whatever, God had to make him understand. That ain't the way we do this. But now that you've gone through your sadness, now that you're broken, now that all this is messed up, what I'm about to do now is show you my kindness again. She conceives, has a son, and God loves him. And the Bible then, God puts that boy on the throne of Israel. That's God. Every head bowed, every eye closed.